The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Friday footballs. This will always be our second hour. The Bear, Chris Felica. Two with Steve Fezzik, and of course, Dr. Bob to round things out. By the way, I told Bob, I said, you're going to do the last segment now in the second hour. And he's like, oh, that'll be awesome because then the listeners will have that much more to anticipate me. Dr. Bob, everybody. Never really shy on confidence.
We got to make sure we start teasing him on Monday so people know that, you know?
When's Bob going on? We get tweets at Beanie Book Charles in Connecticut. Yep, adjusted my schedule to make sure I catch our number two. Brian Heap about the Megapod. Can I borrow some money? I blew my bankroll on the under 3.5 bombs by Will Hill. F-bombs, that is. Seemed like free money. Las Vegas 514. Yo, shut Tua down? He's only 26 years old. He's still so very young. At what point do we say enough is enough? That tweet went a couple different directions. I never said anything about if you were asking about me. My whole thing is you can't let him play next week. I'm not going to be one of these people on mainstream media who does a whole segment. It's like, what should Tua do? It's not our business.
Not our business.
Yep. It's for doctors to let him know what they think. And by the way, there's going to be differing opinions on that, too. It's not going to be one monolithic opinion on his state of affairs with his concussions. So my thing is, let's just protect the kid. Let's not let him get back too soon. Just protect him as a human being above all. Kyle D, my jaw dropped. The fact that they had a Tua injury montage ready on hand and rolled with it.
Yeah.
That was a little interesting, too.
Us TV producers are creepy like that. Yeah, it's bad.
And Shooter McGamblin says, I like that. Shooter McGamblin says, felt like last year we watched some of the worst quarterback play from the league as a whole. Week two just started, and we're already looking at Malik Willis and Skylar Thompson starting. I was making this point last week as well. Yeah.
Jed O'Connor tweeted at me, Micah White as an option for the Dolphins.
Micah White.
We forgot about the great Micah White.
Micah White. Okay, we'll get to more of your tweets. Ladies and gentlemen, let us kick off hour number two with Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports, the emperor of the Chris Felica podcast empire that is Bear Betts podcast. And of course, he is on Big Noon Saturday with the whole crew there at Fox Sports for college football. Hello, Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm just occupying space and taking up time and getting you over to final segment of the show for the pioneer, innovator, and should be Sports Gambling Hall of Famer, Dr. Bob.
He prefers legend. I just want to point that out. He prefers legend. Chris,
before
we get to college football, though, we just did a really quick sort of rapid fire thing where Kelly asks, are we sure about certain things in the NFL? And I thought his best one was, all yours are great, Kelly, but best one was, are we sure that the rookie of the year is going to be one of the quarterbacks? And you think what?
I am not sure of that at all. Actually, earlier this week, coming off, and again, you don't want to overreact, but you saw Caleb Williams did not look great. You saw Bo Nix was basically dump it off 2-3 yards within the line of scrimmage. I think Jaden Daniels was fine, but how many games are they going to win? I think there's a real path for a couple of these wide receivers. I bet Xavier Worthy earlier in the week at 10-1 because it's clear Chiefs offense is going to be fantastic and he's going to have an impact every single game he plays. And I bet Brian Thomas, the Jaguars wide receiver at 28-1. Again, this is a team that they're probably going to score points. I mean, they should have won that game in Miami last week, but I think there really is a path for one of these wide receivers, specifically Worthy, who I think you probably could have gotten at a better price before the year had started, and certainly now better than what he is now. But I still think plus 850 is pretty good. And who knows what's going to happen with Marvin Harrison?
Yeah,
he obviously was not a part of that offense week one, but I think there is a path for one of those receivers to win.
Worthy, the fourth shot on the board, if you will, plus 850. This is at DraftKings. Marvin Harrison shorter at 8-1. And of course, the two shortest shots, still Caleb Williams at plus 165. Jaden Daniels at 3-1 in the offensive rookie of the year market. Your audio a couple weeks ago wasn't good enough for you and I to go at it on tennis on the women's side. So we missed that opportunity. But I do want to take a brief opportunity to talk about National League MVP for a second, which, listen, I thought it was fait accompli. That's French, Kelly. Fait accompli, that it's a done deal, that Shohei Ohtani is the MVP. You see it otherwise, don't you?
Ohtani is probably going to win. But I guess my interpretation of most valuable is exactly that. We know what look at the Dodgers record the last dozen years. We know what the Dodgers are with Shohei Ohtani. We know what they are. They're the exact same team without him that they are with him. Going to win the NL West, going to win 60% of their games or so. They're going to make the playoffs and in a loaded lineup. You take Francisco Lindor off the Mets. They're not a playoff team. Not even in the mix for the playoff. They're probably not even 500. The impact that he has in the lineup, on the field, like, I think if the Mets make the playoffs, I think you can make a really good case, because I still do think there may be, again, we have to handicap the voters. Who knows how many voters out there may still be like, okay, he went to the Dodgers, he performed this super team. His gambling story is a crock of shit. People can read between the lines. I think that he had something more to do with that than they did. There could be some public perception against him. Now, best offensive season in the National League, clearly. Anytime he pitches and plays the field, MVP, obviously. But I think if you're looking for – basically, if you give it to him this year, you're saying you're going to give him the MVP every single year the rest of his career. And if that's true, then fine. It is what it is. But I think if the Mets make the playoff, there is a path where Lindor could get a good bit of votes, and this thing at least could be a heck of a lot closer than I think the market indicates.
All right, two things. One, not the Megapod. Two, how can I do this respectfully? Man, you cray.
I'm sorry, Gil.
You cray.
You and Will and Todd were too much of a bad influence on me yesterday, so I apologize for that.
Man, Chris thinks he's Alan Boston all of a sudden. Now, the Lindor thing, listen, you can't prove that the Dodgers wouldn't be as good without Shohei. I understand what you're saying historically. I get it. But you can't prove that they would be whatever record they're going to be. He's 47 and 48 right now. If he gets 50-50, mm-hmm. there is literally no conventional stat where Lindor beats him in anything. You have to go to, like, war. Right. And the differing opinions on war to be like, well, Lindor is ahead of him in war in this kind, you know, I know you want to make this a thing. I know you have a bet, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
I do have a bet. I have a nice bet.
But we should have probably prefaced it by saying you have a
Juan bet. Soto should have won the MVP a couple of years ago, too.
He should. Now that he should have at 100-1. All right. College football. What do you got? Go.
Go. Starting tonight, UNLV Kansas under 57.5. Sammy P was all over this on the pod a couple of weeks back about how the Kansas offense probably is not going to be going as fast as it was without Jason Bean at quarterback, with Jalen Daniels coming back. I think people thought that they might be just as fast, just as explosive. That might not be the case. So under 57.5 against a good defensive-minded coach of Barry Odom. Notre Dame-Purdue under 47. Status of Riley Leonard very up in the air, and I would think even if he does play, you're going to see a lot of running from this Notre Dame offense. We know what Notre Dame games are going to be looking like this year based on the first couple of games this year. So under 47, Notre Dame-Purdue. I took Kennesaw State. I know Kelly is familiar with that program. Plus 19 against San Jose State. This is a spot where you look at San Jose State and Ken Niumatalolo. They pulled the upset over an academy last week. I think this is a really good spot to maybe bet against them, coming off of a big win against Air Force. Laying close to 20 points is a lot. So I took Kennesaw, who hung around with UTSA in the opener before getting blown out by the Louisiana Lafayette. I took Tulane plus 13.5 against Oklahoma, because I think the Oklahoma problems are real. Without Farouk at wide receiver, the offensive line, and Jackson Arnold just hasn't figured out a way to stretch out the field. Green Wave very easily could have won that game last week. Offensive pass interference call went against them against Kansas State. So I think John Summerall's team can bounce back here. Their quarterback, Darian Mensa, is really, really good. So I like Tulane here, plus 13.5. And I like Missouri now that I see the numbers down to 15.5. It feels like BC is a very popular underdog this week. But the Missouri offense is much better than what BC faced against Florida State. This is not going to be a team where every time Florida State got the ball, you knew that offensively they had no problem. BC could just blow them off the line of scrimmage the other way around, running Castellanos as well. So I like Missouri here against what looks like a very public underdog in BC.
Wow. Bevy of picks from Chris. All of them again at vsin.com/picks. Every host, every guest on the network, every sport for subscribers at vsin.com/picks. Real quick out of here, I just want to ask two real quick questions of college football. One, this is a sports talk radio question, but I said, and I don't think it's going to happen because I think Notre Dame is terrible, but not terrible, but they're not elite. I don't think they're going to go 11-1, but if they did, you agree with me, they're totally in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, 11-1, they're absolutely in, because that would include a win at the end of the year at USC, and you just have to put yourself in the position at that time where the last week of the regular season, you go to SC and win. At 11-1, they're absolutely in. Now, the question is, will they finish 11-1?
Yeah.
That's a likely a no. So two different conversations.
That's a whole nother matter. And then from your preseason thoughts to now, few weeks into the college football season, what is the team, either to the good or to the bad, that has surprised you the most, that has caused you to rethink?
I would say Tennessee. I figured that they would be really good offensively. I knew they had some impact players on the defensive side of the ball, but how well their defense played and completely embarrassed and shut down NC State last week, defensively. I think you could make we had this conversation on Bear Bets this week about, do you feel potentially better about Tennessee making the college football playoff than you do Alabama after 2 weeks in the season? I think if you're not voting the balls in the top five right now, you're missing the boat.
All right, Bear Bets Pod, along with our buddies.
I'm sorry, Gil. I said a bad word. Please don't cancel me. I should have said crap.
Ladies and gentlemen, potty mouth Chris Felica, a regular here on Fridays on A Numbers Game. At Chris Felica on Twitter. Again, Bear Bets Pod with Will Hill, Sammy P, and, of course, Chris Felica. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Chris Felica.
I'm staying tuned for Fez and Dr. Bob.
There you go.
Stars of the show.
The anticipation for Bob is just growing. Fezzik's on the other side. Oh, he's got things to say. Things to say next on the NFL.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget to check out our website, vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. Check it out, the front page right now. A whole bunch of college and pro football, as you would expect. Adam Burke with all his week 3 predictions. Zach Cohen, same thing in college ball. Thule with his takes. Thule takes, everybody. Steve Mackinnon with all of his college plays based on betting splits, power ratings, and trends. Something for everybody. Football all weekend long. College football and NFL all at vsin.com. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game. I'm serious, man. I'm not just saying that. It's so awesome, the sort of response we get here on the show. Mike Mile High David talking about Sport Trade and Alex Kane's appearance. He said, I use Sport Trade and want to add that their pre-match golf outrights are almost always much better numbers. I compare them to my other four outs. Let's see. Good friend Chillionaire with his daily Austin Wells tweet. I see. Good friend Chillionaire. Ice Cold Gambler. How could the Colts call the Colts, he says, and get old man Joe Flacco? Or how can they call? I don't know. You gotta do better on the wording to know which way you're going on that. Johnny Ringo, such an amazing Friday show. Only possible improvement would be Bob Seger, some Bob Seger or a Vitti cameo. We're working on getting Seger in here. And then NJD107, Kelly's out of his mind if he thinks Tyrod getting traded to Miami, since the Jets need a viable backup. Plus, why would they ever help the Dolphins? Kip Heisterman says, as bad as it is for the Dolphins and the options available as free agents, time to call Jarrah about Trey Lance. And then Jed O'Connor, never hearing you swear on air, then in the Megapod, makes it sound more genuine, especially when the Bucks were reeling 3 years ago and you said, this is the worst blank in football team I've ever seen. Yeah, sorry about that. It gets a little feisty on the Megapod. Ladies and gentlemen, part of the Football Friday second hour is this gentleman, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. You can follow him on Twitter, at Fezzik Sports, and he comes to us live in studio. It's Steve Fezzik, everybody. How you doing?
You know, it's interesting. By the way, I was told there's going to be Brooklyn's best pizza, but considering it's the morning, it doesn't shock me that it wasn't here.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Love that pizza. Humans is always, Steve, can you come in? We got Brooklyn's best. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll make it soon.
Catering for Fezzik, everybody. Catering for Fezzik. Hey, let me start with this, because I know you have things to say. I don't want to get in your way, but you did make, and I want to share with everybody, because I don't want to forget this part. You did make some adjusted season win totals bets in the NFL. Care to share?
You know, number one, sure. I bet like 6 of them, but the one that really stood out, and unfortunately it has been pulled off, is one of the major providers out there kept the Miami Dolphins up, and the Dolphins were under 9.5. You had to lay like -134. I think it came back up. In what universe can the Dolphins be lined at 9.5 now? And it just goes to show, you hear this all the time. Oh, the NFL, it's unbeatable. It's so difficult. And here's a line. I mean, the Dolphins pre-flop number was 9.5 vig to the over. Well, things couldn't have gone much worse than what they've gone in the past 36 hours. So 24 hours. So, I mean, the Dolphins, realistically, if I had to set a number on the Dolphins, I don't know. I mean, maybe 8. What do you think? Would you go over under 8?
Well, this is the thing about it. And we talked about this on the Megapod. Joe Pita was on. We talked about the old Lehman Brothers off the grid stock market thing that we used to do.
Oh, yes.
That originated there. And this is well before legalized sportsbook did adjusted season win total. So it gives you a sort of education on these kind of things. They have to be adjusted pretty aggressively at this point. I mean, the Tua thing obviously being the biggest factor in that. You know, 1-1 is probably what I think you could have assumed them to be. So you would say, well, then why would they be adjusted that much from 9.5 pre-flop? But the Tua part is the factor here, right? That's the one that changes the dynamic of the team, and it's going to cause them to be underdogs in places where they would not have otherwise been.
And people are like, oh, well, there's not much of a drop off to Skylar Thompson. It's like, what are you smoking? Yeah. You know, it's like, you're already talking about, we need to bring in some stiff backup like Joe Flacco is 105. You know, obviously, if Joe Flacco is better than your starting quarterback, I know he went 11-5 with Cleveland.
Cleveland picks on Twitter tweets, Flacco is ours. Signed a Cleveland Browns fan who is gearing up for an impending Watson suspension for his latest off the field issue. So they're claiming him tightly.
So danger math coming. So yeah. Tua's maybe 1.5 better than an average quarterback. Skylar Thompson's maybe 3.5 points worse. So you got a 5-point difference. You got 16 games remaining. 16 times 5. Dude, that's 80. I stole that from you. So that's like 80 points. So how much is 80 points with the win? Yeah. That's like 2.2 wins. So boom, if Miami was supposed to be 9.5, that gets me to, 7.3. But obviously this doesn't figure in the fact that Tua could come back, or they could find some kind of better backup. So maybe 8 might be a little low. I'll go 8.3.
Well, 8.3 sounds about right. I'll give you that. You had a question for me you wanted to ask. You did a little show and tell here.
I did want to answer your question because a couple other teams. I bet the Raiders under 6.5.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah,
lay $1.25. I think that's outstanding.
Repeat that again.
Of Raiders under 6.5 wins minus $1.25. I'm driving and I'm listening to the local talk to other. Like, yeah, Raider season is over. I played the Bengals under 9.5.
Okay.
And I mean, I know they were pre-flop 10.5, but they just lost 0.77 wins because that was their win share on week one. And as bad as they looked, already a 2-point adjustment on the Kansas City line, I think that was a slam dunk. Those were two more that I bet. On your second question.
Well, before you get to the second question, now I have a follow-up. So you get a $40 pass post fine on the first answer. And I bring this up because you are the first person to text me and get really angry at guests when I ask them a question and they give an answer of a line that is no longer there. But you see how they can run into that trouble. If I ask them, oh, what's your favorite? Or, hey, what are the three you made? The first thing out of your mouth was something the 9.5 might not be available everywhere. So you see how this is a conundrum. You can't get mad at these guests for giving you a
fair enough.
Pass post.
But I only get fined $40, not $120, because the next two that I did give are available and I thought you were going to find me. So because of that, I specifically interrupted your question so I could give two that were available. I wouldn't be in so much heat. I do have a question for you, Gil Alexander.
Yes.
So week two, the very capable Seahawks are at the New England Patriots. What is the best number I could possibly have bet on Seattle? People say it's so hard to beat the NFL, and I'm going to come over the top and say it's one of the most easy to beat sports. And I'm going to use this game as an example. What number could I bet? I'm going to disclose. I bet this during the summer. Seattle at New England.
Oh, you bet it.
What number did I get on Seattle? They're currently a -3.3 favorite. When I say -3.3, that means it's 3 to 3.5.
Well, it was under 3, wasn't it?
It was.
So it was either 2 or 2.5, maybe 1.5.
Read that off.
It is Seattle -1.
So think about this.
Yeah.
During the summer, I bet Seattle -1. Well, things couldn't have gone much worse than New England crushing the Bengals with a great defense. So New England massively overexceed expectations. Seattle met expectations. If New England had gotten rolled in that game, this line would be 5 or maybe 4.5.
Right.
And so despite the fact that New England played so far above their heads, their noses are going to bleed for a month in the jungle, I'm still staring at like a closing line value that's just tremendous. And heck, if I just wanted to earn off of this, people are like, well, you got a middle to earn off of this. I mean, I could just bet plus 150, you know, and earn off of it.
Could I play point counterpoint with you?
Sure.
Not everyone listening is as, and I say this lovingly, not everyone listening is as Meshuggah as you are, right? who are betting stuff in the middle of the summer, right? Absolutely. I say this is, by the way, I brought this up on the Megapod. I think this is the greatest point Todd Wishnev has ever made. The thing about you is people know you, like I always say, real life, nice guy. Twitter, horrible human being. But the truth is that guy on Twitter, Todd brought this up, which I think is so great. Isn't it ironic that the most arrogant guy on Twitter is actually the most humble when it comes to betting NFL? Because you respect the market so much that you remove your opinion largely. You have some opinion, but you largely do it mechanically. You are just looking for the best of it, completely just religiously in that respect. And so that's actually the most humble way to bet the NFL. And Todd points out it's guys like me and him who have so many opinions that will never be as successful because we actually, by having opinions, think we are smarter than the market more than we ought to think that. I think that's the most fascinating thing about you is that you're all these different people, right? You're that horrible human being on Twitter. You're the worst. Let me just repeat this, Steve.
Look like a Disney
character. You're the worst human being ever on Twitter, but you are the most humble better. And this is a great example of that.
You have to respect the market to use like a really cheesy analogy, like the big bad dragon in The Hobbit, Smaug. He's going down to Kick Butt in Lake Town, right? And he's getting too close to Lake and he's like, and remember, he's like, no army can stand up to Smaug. And he's like, the lake is mightier than I. I can't go into the lake because that lake is going to cause me all kinds of problems as a fire-breathing dragon.
But I want to get, I don't know about the lake part, but I want to get to the point about you doing this in the summer. Let's say the person, you know, people listening don't do this stuff in the summer. In the middle of May, they have jobs. Middle of June, middle of July. They're not like you who is always looking for the best numbers. Like, oh, my God, Todd, there's a 2.5. Get it. They can do it from week to week, though, as well.
Great question. I'm gonna give one out, and it is widely available. So there will be no fines on this one.
Yes.
So I could make a case week two here. The Vikings, I'm very excited about the Vikings, how well they played. Darnold might be a capable starting quarterback. So I like the Vikings hosting San Francisco, catching 5 points. All right. But let me ask you this. Who's better, San Francisco or the Houston Texans? Go out.
Why don't we get that answer on the other side? You'll stick around for another one?
Absolutely.
Even after I called you Meshuggah and said you're the worst person on earth?
I'm looking that up.
Okay. Steve Fezzik.
Baltimore.
And that answer next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game where sports betting lives. Skill Alexander, live from Circa. Steve Fezzik, kind enough to hang out with us for a second segment, but prior to Fezzik, we get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate it again. Jason H11. Kelly, don't sleep on Tannehill. Couldn't stop laughing. I was going to try and make a joke, but I can't. Not a believer in Tannehill, in other words. Nevada Azer, I believe AFC front offices need to be more prudent and realistic how they spend. Miami needed to truly ask the right questions. Needs to. Can this team beat Kansas City as currently constructed? Do we need to re-up the quarterback? Can we wait? Answer is no. Nothing wrong with a little patience. New York Mets 16. Of all the quarterbacks that you mentioned, who throws the best deep ball? Because isn't that what suits Miami best? Deep to Tyreek opens up the slants to Waddle. I'm sure that quarterback will be able to hand off to Mostert and Achane. This is from Nash, last name Nash. With a numbers game, I anxiously anticipate two things every week, the Pioneer's appearance every Friday and the name of the sushi spot. Well, you'll get one of those just to follow Visa. Madden 2000 hack, always talk about the Megapod, D'Angelo Hall, moving to kick return and wide receiver. It was just like Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl. Somehow D'Angelo Hall came up on the Megapod. StatLogic Sports, the Dodgers aren't the same team with and without him. He's carried a team with tons of pitching injuries this year and injuries to key position players. Not a legit argument from Felica. And what doesn't matter is anyone's interpretation of MVP. We can all create narratives. Thank you. That's what I was trying to tell him. And this is from, let's see, this is from Brian Schaefer. Ohtani is winning the Triple Crown and a 50-50 candidate. What are we even talking about, Felica? I hate the Dodgers, but come on, he's on Barry Lamar Bond status. Well, now easy on the Barry Lamar Bonds. But you're absolutely right, Brian Schaefer. He's not going to win it. Lindor is not going to win it, that is. And we do have one more of that. This is from Fox, PhillyGambler.com. He says, LOL, Chris Felica campaigning for Lindor NL MVP simply due to having an open wager. Makes sense, Gil. You out your dang mind, he said. Yes, I went with you, Cray, but that works as well. We love Chris. We had a little struggle in that segment with something else, but we'll get to that. Steve Vezic. Oh, I see you have your fine money.
Yeah, thank here we go. So I gave out Miami under 9.5 wins. It had just gone off the board it was FanDuel that had it. So they don't have it anymore. So a pass posted a line, not available. There's $40 for the crew.
Thank
donuts,
you.
Whatever.
Appreciate that. You asked me a question before the break. I'm supposed to answer.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you, who's better, San Francisco or the very capable Houston Texans, and by about how many points?
The San Francisco 49ers, most will have power rated higher than them. And I would say it's by about, depending on the situation, but somewhere in the 2.5 point range.
I can accept that. I make it 3, but we're right in the same point. Yeah. So here's where I'm going. So it's like buying a house. We're looking at comps. So you want to bet the Vikings week 2. Well, they're home with a big home field advantage against the Niners. They're catching 5. But the very next week, the Vikings are home again, and they're playing Houston, and they're catching 4. So, wait, that's a 1 point difference.
By the way, it's boop, 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 boop.
Thank you. Uh-huh. And corrected. Yeah. And there's only 1 point difference in those point spreads, but there's a 2.5 point difference in your power ratings. So, thus, if you like the Vikings +5 against San Francisco, then Blue Horseshoe loves the Vikings +4 against the Houston Texans, a Texans team, frankly, that didn't even cover at Indianapolis. And so, although it probably should have, put me down, official play, widely available.
Yeah.
+4. But Minnesota week 3.
And this, so this is an example of what we were talking about in the last segment about how you bet football. And again, it is very, with Stevie, it's very mechanical. And that's a good thing in the NFL. Again, Todd's comment, I think, is great, which is, that you are actually more humble. You have more humility than we do when you approach the NFL. And so for you, it's like, it's really easy to beat. This is all you do. Now, it should be pointed out, because you have not only won the back-to-back super contests, but last year you finished what at circa?
21st in the millions.
21st, and people were giving you incoming on that. They're like, you suck. You haven't won as long as you've done.
Fez collapsed down the stretch. He was in second place at Thanksgiving.
I love that.
And he finished 21st, and they're largely correct. I basically, hit 500, and when there's 5,000 guys, it's like the World Series of Poker.
Yeah.
You misplay your queens, and you head to the rail.
But the point is that more often than not, you will contend in these massive contests. Not every year, right? Some years it doesn't work out that way with this strategy.
Yes.
But usually you will.
Yeah.
That's why you're consistent. How are you doing in the Humans Friday Night Invitational Pro-Am?
Well, I don't pay much attention. It's really early, and Chuck Adell has the lead.
Yeah.
But I am tied with him. Yes, for first. Yeah.
By the way, it's not the Humans Pro-Am Invitational. It is called the...
The Circa Invitational. Derek Stevens is fantastic with that and really spends a lot of time and input. And we all love Derek.
Yes, we do. The Tua Tagovailoa concussion last night and the resulting, and it was, again, the fencing response is just, it jars you watching it. But it does, again, sorry to be callous about this, it does bring up another betting point about season-long props with players. Because your strategy is...
unders across the board, skill position players, and it's basically a free roll where 20% of your bets you make, you're going to win automatically because the player's going to play 13 or fewer games. Just the nature of the beast with these injuries.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but that's just a sound thing, right? You are, injuries help you no matter what. And anyone who bets overs, that's what you're worried about. It's very simple.
Exactly.
In that regard.
Now, real important, this won't work in the NBA, okay? Because the NBA does not set how many yards or how many points in this case that Embiid is going to score. It's all based upon a average per game. So when a player misses 40 games, load management, like, he's actually more likely to score in the few games that he plays. So don't do this in the NBA.
All right, Mr. Smarty Pants. Can I call you that? Would you like to share at least a week 2 NFL pick with everybody?
Sure. One that I've got big opposition. And so, by the way, I love Todd Wishnev. And if you missed the massacre at Duck Creek, Todd came out here. Todd weighs like 400 pounds now.
No,
and
he does not.
And he's heading back to 300.
Yes.
So but Todd, he basically on one leg and no hips.
Yeah.
Whacked Gilly and I, and then Gilly whacked me on top of that. To answer your question, answer the question, Steve. I have opposition here. I have a very well-known service that will remain nameless, RAS, going the opposite way. But I just don't understand. The spot for the Jets is so bad at Tennessee. So think about it. The Jets don't get home to their houses probably until 10 a.m. on Tuesday. Then on Saturday, they got to get on a plane to Tennessee. I only have the Jets in my power ratings 3.5 points better. So on a neutral, and my ratings might be a little off, possibly so. But on a neutral, I make the game 3.5. The spot overwhelmingly favors Tennessee. And Tennessee off a phony loss to the Bears, as phony will be, where they easily won the stats and held the Bears down to 140 yards. So in what will likely be a low-scoring game, I lean under. I'm on the Titans plus four.
You're on the Titans plus four. You were asking also off air, you're like, oh, did Kelly, you said Kelly specifically, but this could apply to me too. Did you all take the Dolphins in Circa? No, it was -3 on the Dolphins last night on Circa. So they saved us because we're like, I'm not playing that.
I never ever submit on Thursday because I like to have the extra, 60 hours to make my decisions.
Best information possible.
Exactly. I guess 48 hours in this case. But I would have seriously considered, if I would have known it was three, I would have seriously considered at three taking Buffalo. But no way I would have gone with Buffalo 2.5. But at three, I might have played one of my entries. So no big deal. I love having. I love submitting later. I think it's one of the big mistakes contest players do.
Yeah.
Is they submit. Either they submit too early with the Thursday game, or they submit too late and they don't put in their picks.
I have to go to California after the show, and I am already in my head. I'm like, don't forget to put in your picks. Don't forget to put in your picks. Like, it's a whole thing because I'm not going to get back till after the deadline tomorrow night. All right, we have time. I'm not going to ask you to reveal two of your picks every week when you come on, but since we have a little time, would you care to share one other thought on one other play?
I'll probably be Vikings. I think the spot's really bad for. I would love to bet more. There's just not enough of a market for it that week three play with the Vikings, but I'm high on the Vikings. I like what I saw, just crushing the Giants. What's interesting, the market is not throwing the Giants into the trash can. They're getting plenty of support against Washington this week. C-Mac's very likely not to play. San Fran, you got the Super Bowl hangover, and didn't look like it affected them week one, but so much mileage on their tires from last year and all those really tough playoff games. You have to feel they're going to exhale. Really nice Monday Night Football win. And this is a game, go into Minnesota and just try to get the win.
Biggest mistake you see bettors making in the NFL, period. Blanket statement. Biggest mistake.
They approach it like a final exam. So they spend all week studying, reading up everything, listening to all these podcasts, including the Megapod, which is tremendous, especially with that Todd Wishnev, who is wildly entertaining.
Yes.
And then it's like, okay, it's time to take the exam. And so whenever they bet, Friday or Saturday, they're like, all right, now I'm going to make my bets. Boom, 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 boom. And they're like, I'll shop for the best number at that point in time.
Yeah.
And set it and forget it. And it's absolutely not the right way to go.
Because you got the bets from way back when.
Well, and it's a cycle. It's like literally the lines are boop, boop, up and down, up and I can't do that. Go ahead.
Boop, 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 boop.
There it is. Yeah. So a friend of mine, the Hitman, he does a static show on Wednesday, and he had a really terrible record when he had to give out his best bet every Wednesday at a certain time. He had but in his own bets, he had one of the greatest records ever. He just crushed it because literally he'll come out and he'll say, okay, the news just came out on this information. Obviously C-Mac's not playing, so I'm going to play the other guys, to have more carries. That's how people win, by betting right when the information's breaking and getting the best of the number.
Care to say something nice about Dr. Bob in 10 seconds?
Dr. Bob is the most fantastic. Seriously, in all honesty, what I love about Dr. Bob, he used to have all these 3 stars because his math model had games off 6 points, and he doesn't compromise himself. He doesn't sell 3-star Battlestar Galactica games of the year with huge edges, because the edges have eroded somewhat versus where they were 20 years ago.
Thank you, Stevie. Dr. Bob next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, don't forget to stay tuned to VSiN right after this show, A Numbers Game for Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni and her mishpucha, Jeff Schwartz, at noon Eastern. I asked Stormy to introduce Jeff as her mishpucha, and she looked right through me. She's like, I'm sorry, what? Stormy and Jeff Schwartz, noon Eastern for Money Moves, then stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen at 2 p.m., followed by Make It Rain with Adam Shine from 3 to 4 p.m. Stormy and Jeff at the top of the hour. Can't wait for that right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. There are so many. I can't possibly get to them all, so I will respond to all of them after the show. But I just want to read a few more. It's from Jamie Buckholt at The Real Buck U2. He says, Gil to the Bear, quote, first, not the Megapod. Almost fell out of my chair. Really love this show. Thank you, Jamie. This is from Novak. Novak said, what was the horse pick with Velika? There was no horse pick. I don't know why they got promoed earlier. New York Mets 16. He says, while as a Mets fan, I agree with the leak about Lindor MVP status to the team, which exceeds the numbers. He is the clubhouse leader. But Acuna won with a 40-40 season. So how can Ohtani not with 50-50? There's no possible way, Scott. You are correct. And then Mr. Postman 619, he says, if you're a sports bettor without a potty mouth, I don't trust you. There you go. R.I.P. Frankie Beverly, he adds. Yes, R.I.P. Frankie Beverly, indeed. I'll respond to all the others after the show. I promise you that. This gentleman, when I said, hey, could you do the last segment of the hour once again? He was like, oh, that's great, because then people will have more anticipation for me. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come. Dr. Bob at Dr. Bob Sports. That's at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com on the World Wide Web, the information superhighway. He joins us now, pioneer in the business for predicting the outcomes of sporting events. Off to a fantastic start this season. And also on this show as well. Dr. Bob joins us now from somewhere outside of Denver, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Bobby?
Doing all right. You always make me sound very, full of myself. I'm just joking with you that people would wait because they wanted to hear me talk.
Hey, Bob, am I misquoting you, Bob? Am I misquoting?
You are not.
Yes.
You are not misquoting
all right.
me.
Just but wanted
it was,
to know.
It was said in jest between friends. And not that some people aren't waiting around to hear what I have to say.
See, I knew you would throw that in at the end. You had to. Not that some people aren't. What is your, by the way, before I want to get to an NFL thought before we get to college football, but what is your college football record right now this year? What are you doing? And on this show, what are you doing?
6-0 on best bets in college football and 3-0 on the show. USC over LSU in week one. And then last week, the Oklahoma under and Washington State crushing Texas Tech.
I am told 6-0 is pretty good. I'm told it's good.
Pretty good. Yeah.
We don't usually talk NFL, but you have a bunch of NFL picks. You also play the NFL. And I want to ask you about one of them, which is the Chiefs Bengals game. You are all about the Bengals and the points here.
I just think it's an overreaction. I mean, Cincinnati always starts the season with a clunker for whatever reason. Who knows? Joe Burrow is just one of those quarterbacks who needs a reason to get fired up. Maybe like after a bad game, they're good. As an underdog, when he's challenged, he's good. Well, they weren't off a loss last week and they were playing a crappy team. So that's the worst case scenario for Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, quarterback. When his team is coming off a game in which they scored 17 or fewer, Joe Burrow is 11-2 against the spread. And when Joe Burrow is an underdog, when he's challenged by another alpha quarterback, generally in those games. In his career, Joe Burrow is 17-2-2 against the spread as an underdog at 2 points or more. And since 2021, he's won 10 of those 13 games straight up. So be careful in your survivor pool if you're taking Kansas City. I don't know why you would, but some people have loser pools. I'm in one, and the loser pools are heavy on Cincinnati this week, and I hope they get the straight-up win to eliminate some people. But last week wasn't as bad as it looked. I mean, obviously, it's not great. New England's got a decent defense. But Cincinnati's success rate was 18th in the league last week. So it wasn't like, God, they're just so miserable offensive. They only had 8 drives because they couldn't get New England off the field. And 2 of the drives ended in fumbles. 2 were drop passes that killed drives. They couldn't get the Bengals off the field, like I mentioned, because the Bengals just ran, and Cincinnati's not great against the run. The Chiefs don't run a lot. They're 3rd in the league in neutral pass play rate, which means they're one of the most throwing the ball teams in the league. So Cincinnati's not going to have as much to worry about as far as, you know, stopping the run all the time. And I like the matchup of Bengals edge defender Trey Hendrickson. He was 2nd in the league last year in pass rushing efficiency. He's going up against a rookie left tackle. So that ought to be interesting. So I think Cincinnati's defense can do a decent job, and the offense always bounces back from these bad games. And in general, underdogs coming off a loss as a big favorite have been really good in the NFL for years and years and years. In fact, underdogs that lost straight up as a favorite of more than 6 points the previous week are 176, 111, and 13 against the number over many, many years. That's not why I'm betting this game, but it certainly shows that when you look bad 1 week, you can come back and play a good game the next week. People are burying Cincinnati, and they have a tendency to bounce back. So I think the line should be more like 4 or 4.5. So I'm taking the 6. That's good enough value for me. So Cincinnati plus the 6.
Yeah. Joe Burrow and the Bengals, one of the only quarterbacks and teams that when they look across the field and see the Chiefs, they are not spooked at all. The Bengals plus 6 for Dr. Bob. All right, let's go to college. Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Panthers, Pitt and West Virginia. Old rivalry game happening here. Pitt catching a point, and you like the Panthers.
Yeah, they were catching 3 points until I released Pitt as a best bet early in the week, and now the line's down to one. But I still like Pitt here. I thought they were better than the market heading into the season. They just missed being a win total best bet over. They barely missed. They were on the final cutting board there as far as making my list of win total best bets. They start the season with, crushing Kent State, gaining 560 yards, allowing 214. The new quarterback, Eli Holstein, looking good. And he followed that up. Holstein followed up a good performance against Kent State with 302 passing yards and 7.8 yards per pass play in a comeback win against Cincinnati last week. They only won the game by 1 point, so it's not really getting – it's not like a wow game because they were behind most of the game and had to come back to win. But they outplayed Cincinnati 7.3 yards per play to 6.0 yards per play. So they won that game more than what the score looks like as far as statistically. And I think they're underrated because their offense has been so mediocre to bad in recent years. But the big change for Pitt this year was getting a new offensive coordinator, Cade Bell, comes over from FCS program, Western Carolina. Now, Western Carolina averaged 7.4 yards per play last season. Now, my model compensates everyone's statistics for how they would do against an average FBS team. West Carolina's offense, 7.4 yards per play, would be 0.5 yards per play better than an average FBS offense last season. That was 0.7 yards per play better than Pitt's offense last season after adjusting for schedule strength faced. And he had, Cade Bell had to work with FCS talent. Now he's got Pitt's talent, and it's showing. He did bring one of his players from West Carolina with him, running back Desmond Reed, averaged 6.9 yards per run at West Carolina last 2 years. So far for Pitt, 293 rushing yards at 8.9 yards per run. So they have a really balanced and explosive attack this year, which is something they haven't had in a while. And West Virginia's defense, I knew they'd miss Beanie Bishop, the cornerback. He led the nation last year with 24 passes defended. He's starting as a rookie for the Pittsburgh Steelers, with one of the best defenses in the NFL. That's how good Beanie Bishop is. And they really miss him. They could not stop Penn State from throwing the ball all over the field. That's fine. Penn State's got a new offense, and maybe they're better. But last week, they gave up 306 passing yards at over 7 yards of pass play to Albany quarterback Miles Burkett. And Miles Burkett's a new starter on a team without all of their top receivers from the previous season. And Burkett only averaged 6 yards of pass play against LIU the previous game on 12 of 26 against LIU. And then he lights up West Virginia's secondary. I just think it's a case of West Virginia's defense being much worse without Beanie Bishop, Pitt's offense being much better with the new offensive coordinator. And as far as West Virginia, getting pounded by Penn State, you could sort of forgive that. But Penn State barely beat Bowling Green last week, and Bowling Green gained 377 yards at 5.8 yards per play against Penn State. West Virginia only gained 265 yards at 4.1 yards per play against the same defense. So their comparisons don't look very good. I would have had Pitt favored by 3.5 to 4 points before the season started. Now I have Pitt favored by 7 after the first 2 weeks adjusting.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's a really good play on Pitt. They're plus 1 right now. I took them at plus 3 as my favorite play of the week. Still like Pitt at plus 1. Even at the minus 1, I'd still take Pitt. So Pitt's my play there.
Yeah, you do. Given your projection, you still like them at plus 1 here. Okay, so the Bengals in the NFL, Pitt Panthers in college football. Bob, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
The great Dr. Bob, everybody, pioneer in the industry. I know we give him a lot of guff, but he really is truly one of the most honest, straightforward, hardest working handicappers you will ever run into. I will read one tweet to leave. Keno Walker, I speak for all the viewers and listeners. We thank you all for giving us our flowers in real time. We love a numbers game, quote unquote, best listeners in the business. Y'all are the best listeners in the business. I mean it every time I say it. So Keno, thank you for noting that, because it absolutely is true. Stormy is next. Jeff Schwartz in the house with Stormy as well. Whole bunch of NFL, whole bunch of college football. That's next. Money Moves right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.